Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we have a special guest with us today, Jonathan Schlecht, who's the theology teacher at Lutheran High. It's good to have you.
I am really excited to be here.
This I'm glad awesome. To have you here because you said our setup's a little nicer than Lutheran, so, you know, bragging rights there for a minute.
This setup, yeah, this studio, official. Comfortable.
Good. Good. Thank you.
He's making us sound nice. It's not quite that nice, but thanks,
Jonathan.
We
appreciate you coming in. We have wanted to have you in for a while and to talk a little bit about faith and Gen Z, but it's also Gen Alpha now, right?
Yeah, I think we're right on the cusp here.
Yeah. So overall, what's your perspective on this generation and kind of keeping it in the area of faith?
Yeah, so in my experience, I see an openness to just generally speaking spirituality and a searching for it. There is skepticism, certainly, but I think a lot of times the heart behind the skepticism is because they want to find real, genuine faith. What's real? You know, sometimes from, I don't know, a selfish motivation of what can help me, what's true and what is going to help me through life. And what I appreciate as a teacher is that there is that openness and they are searching. Now, in my classroom, I do have a lot of students who are raised in the faith, but as we grow, we're getting more and more students who have very little faith background. So that's kind of what especially I'm talking about here. And it has been amazing to be able to share the truth, share the gospel, share the good news of Jesus. And I teach freshmen, so I'm the first one that gets them. And I love that, to be able to expose them to the gospel and to share this good news on fresh ears, on students who are searching and want truth and purpose. It's so fulfilling. I love it.
So what? There's a challenge with when people think of Lutheran High, they think, oh, it's a bunch of kids that are Christians that are all coming together. You said, no, that's not really the reality. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So I think overwhelmingly, students have a faith background, a Christian background. But as I said, as we grow, we see it as a mission field as well. Our executive director would say that we love when kids belong before they believe. And sometimes it's just that. They come to this school. Sometimes families will send their students to Lutheran because they know what they don't want, but they don't necessarily know what they want and what an opportunity that is. So I've had, at the very beginning of the year, I have them fill out like a personal profile. And I just ask, do you consider yourself a Christian? Why or why not? Do you attend a church? If so, where? And it is interesting and it's cool to see. And I love to see when students say, you know what? I don't really know, or I don't, but I'm open to it. Or, I don't think so because I don't know enough. And they're pretty honest about that. And I'm seeing more and more of that as we grow. So this is my sixth year at Lutheran, and we've grown in numbers every year. And I'm seeing more and more of that. And I have had students who have come in, either atheist, agnostic. A lot of students just don't know. And praise the Lord, they're Christians as they walk outside of, or as they walk from Lutheran High School. It's amazing. So a mission field, still, I mean, a lot of students are Christian and have that background, but we are getting more and more who are not.
Yeah. Are you still seeing the residual of COVID? Because these students, if they're coming in, they were, what, third, fourth grade when COVID was here. Are you seeing the residual of lockdown and mask and all those things still?
Honestly, and we as teachers talk about this, honestly, like this feels like one of the first years where that effect maybe isn't as prominent.
That's good.
I mean, I haven't been teaching for a super long time, so it's kind of hard. My first year of teaching was 2019 to 2020, so I actually only got really a semester and a half in before COVID, so I don't have a lot to compare it to, but from what I've heard as well, we talk with other teachers, especially just like socially for students and high schoolers, there does seem to be a difference, maybe getting over the hump. I don't know. My opinion's probably not super helpful
on
that.
You're good. So what questions are high schoolers asking when it comes to faith?
Can we trust the Bible? That's a big one.
Truth.
Yeah, can we trust it? Where did it come from? A lot of students wonder, like, okay, we have this book. You're obsessed with this book. You say this is the word of God. Well, who actually wrote it? Did it fall from the sky? So like really getting to the heart of it. So that's a big one. When it comes to skepticism, they also wonder how I'm teaching this loving, merciful God, why people go to hell. Like if God is loving, why is he, as they phrase it, sending people to hell? And especially for students who are coming from a family that does not have a Christian background, when it becomes real for them, they're going to jump right to their parents and be like, oh, okay, so this means, let me get this right. This means I believe in Jesus. My parents don't. Wow. Oh, okay. So that's a big one. Is really, I think at the heart of it is God good, and is he truly loving? Which is deep and awesome that we get to go into that. So like, for example, we're in Exodus right now, and we're talking about the Passover and how God struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians. And I remember my second year of teaching, for two class periods, I felt like I was trying to and needing to defend God for what he did. And that was a big growing moment for me as a teacher. I felt like I was in court, and my back was against the wall, and the class was coming at me, and it was challenging, and it helped me to grow. And how do I answer that? But at the heart of it, where I landed, and not where I landed, but talking with Mr. Colway, Mr. Parrott, mentors there, it's questioning the heart of God. Because if God is perfect and he's good and he's perfectly just, we can trust that what he does is also good. And I know that's simple. I also think there are good reasons. You know, you can go the apologetics route, like, you know, they were killing the Israelite baby boys. They had enslaved them for 400 years. This was not a nice slavery. They had warnings and signs, but at the heart of it, it's, is God good?
And if God is good, then why did my brother take his life? And if God is good, so I'm going to go to heaven and that my parents aren't. And if God is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And making sense of that, which is cool when they're asking that, because as a teacher, you can tell when it's becoming real for them. I'll never forget my first year. A student came up to me. We were talking about justification. And he said, so, Mr. Schlecht, if you're not justified, if you don't have faith, is that where this idea of hell comes from? And it was just like such a real question. And this student was asking it from a good place. And this student was motivated to share it with friends and teammates who don't know about Jesus. That was really refreshing for me. A student new to the faith, he realized the urgency and need for the gospel.
Wow.
And I still stay in touch with this student. And it's just cool how bold he is. And he's like, why are we not sharing this more? There's an urgency.
Yeah.
We people need to hear this. Is he's been
okay? I gotta ask. Are you always answering questions? Like, is that? I gotta believe in freshman theology, and they get to ask anything they want. It's gotta be a Q&A almost every day.
It's a lot of questions. Something that's cool is when students ask questions, I make a note of it and just build it into my lesson for next year to anticipate and address, because the same questions are going to pop up, generally speaking. So then I build those in, and a lot of times I let them wrestle with it themselves, amongst themselves, because there are times, a lot of times as a teacher, they ask me a question, I don't know the answer. So then I love the next year turning the table on them. Little do they know, I didn't know the answer. But I'm like, all right, here we go. What do you think? But so many questions.
And their parents have so many questions also. I know during Ask the Pastor, we get a lot of questions, and they're the same ones students are asking. It's hard that families aren't having those conversations because they all have the same questions.
Yes. And I think parents may be afraid of having their students ask them questions they don't know the answers to. But I always tell the parents at the beginning of the year, those that come to our back to school night, I tell them your homework is to ask your student what we talked about in theology today. That's your homework. And have the conversations at home. And it's really awesome when I do hear follow-up of, yeah, I do always ask my student what you were talking about, what they learned, which is cool, because it needs to come from them at home.
And students want that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What are some, how do you see social media playing a part in their faith development? We've talked a lot about the anxiety that social media creates. We've talked a lot about isolation with social media. But is there a place for social media in faith development? Is there a place for it in what you do?
It's pretty interesting. I'll have students come up to me and be like, Mr. Schlecht, I saw this TikTok on the flood. Or I saw this TikTok on crazy stories and judges. So like that's where a lot of that generation's voice is on TikTok, on Instagram, and they're sharing real stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's really cool things. So like, this is so cool. Watch this. Or like, this was a really affirming thing to the faith. So I think, first of all, I don't think it's all bad that's out there.
Right.
I don't look forward to, now that I have a daughter, maneuvering those waters because it's challenging.
Yes.
But that's the first thing that comes to mind when you ask about like spirituality there, because that's a platform for them. Mm-hmm. And they are taking a lot of things in. They're hearing things from both sides. But they're on TikTok, on Instagram, a lot.
Yes.
And it's affecting them.
Yes.
Sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad. That's the first thing that comes to mind. I think certainly affects them in other ways.
Yeah. I had a kindergartner we have faith families, and I have one, a faith family. And a kindergartner said to me, yeah, I was watching TikTok the other night. And I'm thinking, you're scrolling on TikTok? What?
Wow.
And was telling me some of the TikToks that she was watching. It was like, oh my goodness. That's a lot.
Wow.
Kindergarten?
Kindergartner. Yeah. Yeah. It was shocking to me.
Not my kids.
It wasn't.
it wasn't the cripple family.
No.
As a matter of fact.
Not handing our kids phones.
So where's the struggle with truth? If I'm watching TikTok and it's teaching me theology and you're telling me the Bible's truth, why do I need the Bible if I can just go to TikTok?
Yeah, so I'll take this in a different way in terms of the struggle with truth. I think there's a a difficulty because it seems like you can find anything to support what
That's
you want.
True. That's true.
And when students realize that, that's a really big struggle of, well, you're teaching me this. I can find support that opposes you.
Right.
And a lot of people that back it. So I think that's a big struggle. Teaching students, first of all, that there is truth, ultimately, because that's not always a given. And that the implications of truth really matter, right? We talk about, okay, let's say we're wrong about this whole Christianity thing, this whole God thing. What are the implications for that? But on the other hand, let's say those who are not Christian are wrong about this faith thing, this Christianity thing. What are the implications for that? And just to drive the importance of this, it's not just everyone has their own truth. There is truth.
Yeah.
It's just, what is it? How do we find it? Where do we turn?
And to get them to use the brain that God gave them, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all, but God gave them an amazing brain, not just to take in whatever is thrown at them, but to think it through. And when you're asking questions like that, they're thinking now. They're like, oh, that makes sense to me. I get that. Yeah, it's so huge.
Yeah.
So
huge. Yeah, Marty Colway has really helped me with that in regards to how to get students to think. Mm-hmm. And he has given me questions and tools to use, like, would you give me two sources from a differing point of view? And if you wouldn't, why not? And if you would, what makes those valid? What maybe is not so reliable about them? Or the question, you know, what if you're wrong? Or even, have you ever considered that you might be wrong? Because a lot of people haven't even considered, allowed their mind to go to a place of maybe I am wrong. And if I am, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, that is a powerful question. Mm-hmm. And and one that really gets them thinking. And one that I have to ask too.
Right.
You know, what if we are wrong? How do we know that we have the truth?
Yeah, good thoughts. So as you look at this generation in a really abbreviated, let's do it in one sentence. What are you really excited about concerning faith for this generation? And what are you nervous about for them? And then I want to move to a different topic.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great excited question. About. Excited about. I want to start with that. I'm excited about their hearts and their care and love for people. It's been awesome to see them navigate a new school. The cool thing about, again, being at Lutheran is they're all coming from, I think, like 60 different middle schools.
Wow.
So it's this whole new world for them. And of course, there's going to be struggle there, but it's cool to see them navigate that and to see the heart a lot of them, especially freshman year, to care for others as they try to find their place. And I think that goes a long way in sharing the gospel as well, to have a heart for people.
Other side of the coin.
Yeah, what makes me maybe nervous about this generation?
And their faith.
I think like AI and this conversation we had on truth, just that you so readily accessible is information that can support both sides. And that makes me nervous, because sometimes, you know, Satan can use something really small and push you on that and encourage you to kind of push God away. So that makes me nervous.
I feel like AI makes us lazy and not use that brain that God's given us.
Yeah.
And the less I use it, the less I really need to think about the things in my world. And I'm just accepting whatever. And that can get tough.
Well, yeah. and it tailors to
Correct.
You, too. I think
Correct.
That's the other crazy part. Like, you know, once it knows you're a Lutheran, like, it'll pump out Lutheran theology great for you and do, you know. And I think, like, once you figure out where you are, like, I think there's value in, and I don't want to say like this, there's not always value in conformity, but there's a problem when we can tailor all our technology to match us and feed me whatever I want. And I think the problem I see with that is it's going to mess up our relationships, because you're always going to be a little difficult, Jonathan and Donna, because you're not always going to do exactly what I want you to, but AI will. And I think, like, relationally, that's a struggle that I think we're all going to have with AI, is how do we do the heart of relationship when AI is easier?
I think we're going to come back and do another episode with you on AI, Jonathan,
yeah,
in the future,
yeah, right.
and faith. I want to move us.
Pass.
I want to move us forward a little bit with the time that we have. If you could say anything to parents, what would you tell parents and encourage parents and discourage parents?
Well, I feel blessed that I do get to talk to parents. We have parent-teacher conferences tomorrow night, actually.
Yay.
And as a freshman teacher, I get a lot of them. But what I say to parents is, as I mentioned earlier, have the conversations with them. Don't be afraid that you maybe don't know the answers. Explore with them. If they ask a question you don't know, say, that is a really good question. I wonder. But talk to them about Jesus, about faith, about the Bible, because parents have the ultimate influence on their child, whether they believe that or not. And we, as the church, as the church community, as a school, we can walk alongside them, but ultimately they've got the influence. So my biggest encouragement is to talk, to share, discuss. What I mean, a simple question of, what was chapel about today? What did you learn in theology? What questions have come
up? Yeah, in the case of your child, you are the expert. Don't abdicate your role. Do your job. It's okay. God's going to cover those parts that you may go, I don't know. But how refreshing would that be for your son or daughter? Because then they know you're going to look. You're going to figure it out. And they don't know either. And you can join together at those times.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the key is, you're the expert without feeling like the expert.
Yes.
I think, like, in parenting, we sometimes want to be the experts, like we want to know everything and know right to do, but you're the expert even though you don't feel like the expert.
Correct.
I think that's, like, it's such this paradigm that I think is so important in parenting.
Well, and I think students are doing this weird thing, right, of, oh, I want you around, but I don't. I'm listening to you, but I'm going to act like I'm not.
Yeah.
And so that sends this message of, you don't need me anymore, you don't want me anymore. And they do. They really do. And we've got to be that voice in their lives.
Yeah, and what some parents will say is, well, I do ask, and they just say, good, or
keep asking.
Not really.
not only
keep asking, but be more specific,
yes.
Then.
Narrow the question.
Yes. This might be a good use of AI. Here you can go to AI and ask, what's 20 questions I can ask my son or daughter about their Lutheran theology class? Like, that might be a good way to use
AI. Awesome.
Absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. But don't give up. Be persistent. They care. As you said, they care whether it seems like they care or not. So be persistent. Have those conversations. Talk to them. Don't be afraid if you know the answers or not. But got to be at home.
Hmm. All right. So you get to speak into the church for a second. How could the church do better when it comes to students and faith? Not peace with Christ, of course.
Sure.
But other churches. Yeah.
Yeah. This church, you know, has it all together. No problems, no
every
issues.
Day, yeah.
Yep.
Every day.
Just ask AI. It'll tell you.
Just ask AI. Yeah.
I think a big part of it is finding ways for them to have a real part in it. Like, if they have no skin in the game, then it's a lot easier to step away, to feel like they don't ultimately matter. Like, it's fine when they're there, But man, if you can have them up reading God's word, if you can have them involved, you know, singing, involved in other ways, in youth group, maybe leading a devotion, or just having skin in the game.
PBS, mission trips, yes. All those things.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's critical, where they feel like they matter, because they do. And we need them now, not just in the future. We need them now. They're a part of the church. They have a heart for people. So I think, you know, as a church, we at times do well, and at times do not, in this regard. But I think that's a big part of it. Give them a place.
Yeah.
Even give them a voice.
Yeah, not just a place as in a youth room, but a place as in, yeah, I love what you said, the things you listed, like a place where they get to not just be consumers and not just sit down and shut up, but like contribute to what's going on in the mission and life of the church. I love how you said that.
Well, and because if a church is doing it right, your younger help your older to feel valued, your older feel your younger to feel valued, and everything in between. All ages want to feel valued and loved in the church. Mm-hmm. And they all have a role. They all have
Absolutely.
A place.
I love that. And yeah, the mentorship. So like you have middle school, high school, like what an experience is when they can feel like they have real influence over these younger kids who look up to them, who love them,
yep.
You know, VBS. Man, I encourage all my students, whether they're connected to a church or not, to be a part of VBS. Those kids love you. They just do.
Yep.
They love you. And you will feel like you have a real impact to the kingdom of God, and it's awesome.
Yes, and it's changed VBS. I mean, we could do a whole podcast on that too, but it feels more like summer camp because of their energy and their enthusiasm than it really does VBS. It's pretty special.
So cool.
Yeah.
And beneficial for both parties.
Right. All right, so why are we talking about this? Why in a leadership podcast would we talk about theology and Gen X Alpha? Why would we do that?
I don't know. Why would we?
Yeah, why am I? Why am I here?
No, I mean, I think when we understand, there's a bunch of reasons. One is we see your leadership and what you're doing at Lehigh, and to understand a little bit behind what you ticks helps us as leaders. But the other thing is, I think leaders get to be leaders of all generations. And so there are some other people listening that have the spiritual gift of the next generation of caring for them. And so we want to have conversations like this to spur on them in particular. And then I think lastly, just to have a conversation and understand the people around you is always valuable, whether you're leading them or not. To have a heart for them, to at least pray for them and what's going on in their lives, I think is valuable for everybody that's listening. So, do you have other thoughts?
Yeah, I think the only other thing for me is it seems like we still have a lot of students that are going away to college, but we have more and more that are staying behind also. And they are becoming an active part of their churches. And I think in understanding them, we're also accepting what they will bring to the table, both today, like we talked about, and in the future. Like Ben Sosterman is the one that's coming to my mind. Like
Trevor Pollard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they have a lot, and they have a voice, and they are strong men.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to start listening to them. We should start listening to them when they're younger because they do have good things to say.
Absolutely.
And continue to allow that to grow as they get older.
That's what I want.
So, yeah. How about you, Jonathan? Why would this be important to leaders?
I love it. Yeah. I think you both covered that well.
Yeah.
I could try to repeat it. I wouldn't say it as well, though. we'll leave it at your voices on that one.
Yeah. You going to be at Lutheran for a while?
I think so.
Good.
Lee and I are always, as we say, we're always open. We would never close the door on a call or a different opportunity. And yet, we love it. And I love what I do right now.
It shows.
Teaching theology. Having these relationships with kids. It's pretty amazing. So we're always open. We always joke. We never talk like more than like 5 years out, because then we'll just argue because it's very hypothetical. We take it year by year.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
So we'll see.
Well, we're thankful for you. We're thankful that you are a part of Peace with Christ. We're thankful for what you do at Lutheran High. And man, just keep pouring into him. Just keep the faith and keep pouring into him. You're doing a great job.
I appreciate that. And we are so thankful for Peace with Christ. Again, the first Sunday we were out here, we were like, all right, let's go check out a church. And we came here. And we never went anywhere else. There's not a reason to. It was the community here it's amazing, and we feel very blessed to be a part of this. And good things are happening.
That's
really why I had Jonathan on the podcast. I wanted to say that right.
Good things are happening. Well, we hope good things are happening for you, and we hope you'll join us for the next episode of Jesus-Centric Leadership. Have a great day.